The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, first 8 verses.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
After so many years in the apostolic ministry, the Apostle Peter is introducing himself in the beginning of this epistle as a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, the Lord of salvation, love, and life everlasting. It seems to me that even such a high title in Christian ministry, an apostle, is used in this epistle as just a special category of voluntary slavery, slavery of gratitude and worship from the heart, worship of Him who did so much to save us, who has done so much to reveal the Father in His representation of the Father to us, that here in this world around us we might represent Him, our Savior, our Lord, our Master. The Spirit is leading us and teaching us to represent Him by our voluntary submission to His loving Lordship, His guidance, protection, and correction. The apostles obviously did not consider themselves anything more nor less, but sincere disciples of the Lord Jesus, sinners saved by His grace and power. The epistle is addressing the fellow believers, those who received the like precious faith with the apostles. Just as our Lord Jesus is teaching in the Gospel according to Matthew in the chapter 23, verse 8, "Be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, Christ, and all ye are brethren." Right from the beginning of this writing, we can sense the breath of our Lord's Spirit alive in the soul of the writer. The Spirit of our Redeemer is strengthening the unity of the brotherhood. This precious faith we received not as a reward for any good work that we could have done, because no work of ours without Christ as our Savior and Lord could be anything better than a filthy rag, an offense to the Holy and the Almighty God. The same One who gave this gift of believing God to our father Abraham is giving this saving faith as a gift to His Son for us, that He, the Son, could bring it to us. The perfectly righteous Son presented to us the message from the Father. He came in righteousness, proclaimed the message, lived the message in righteousness, and received the judgment for our unrighteousness to satisfy the divine justice and to give us His righteousness. Now our souls cannot have full satisfaction in anything without living to please Him, doing His good will from the heart. When we are doing His blessed will, the salutation and the blessing in the verse number 2 is being fulfilled in our daily walk. Grace and peace is multiplied. This blessing of grace and peace from heaven is not multiplied to us by our disinterest in God and our Savior, or by our deliberately choosing to remain in ignorance of His word and will. This blessing is multiplied to us when we prayerfully labor to grow in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Growing in the knowledge is continued by studying the Word of God and by striving to be obedient and faithful in everything. As the Lord is teaching us in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 17 verse 10, "When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." We can never return to the Lord as much as He has given us, let alone earn the right to demand anything from Him on account of our merit. By our labor and worship of love and gratitude, we only testify that we are open to receive, appreciate, and use His gifts and blessings that pertain unto life and godliness that He, our Lord and Savior, is giving us by His divine power, revealed to us in many diverse manners, and most often as His goodness and mercy following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. In His everlasting love, our Heavenly Father is blessing and rewarding us in all that belong to the Son. So, He is giving us more knowledge of Him and of His Son, that as we are called to glory, so are we guided and trained in virtue. This virtue appears to me as a constant desire and ever-growing ability of living to please our Lord. That way we learn to know Him more and better, and our soul is united with His Spirit in stronger and closer unity. His promises that we learned and received in the beginning are growing in proportion of our faithful pursuit of His teaching. His promises are becoming exceeding great and just as precious as He leads us by His hand. Trusting our Redeemer and obeying Him as our owner, we are becoming more and more partakers of His divine nature. The corrupting lusts that we gave up for fear of God's judgment are replaced with longing for more of His righteousness, a longing to do His blessed will more faithfully. The following few verses are a highly concentrated morsel of this bread of heaven, and I wondered how these lines have been translated in diverse versions. In some translations, faith is belief. In this text, belief or faith in the living Word of God. Virtue is translated also as uprightness, liveliness, vigor, and lasting quality. Knowledge has been understood also as understanding. Temperance means also self-control, according to some versions. Patience has been translated as endurance or steadfastness. Some translators placed reverence, some piety, and others true devotion for the word godliness in this text. What is brotherly kindness in this translation? In some other ones, is brotherly affection or kindness to our fellow man. It is a little interesting that this version is the only one closing the list with charity, and all the other translations that I have in my little library used the word love. The first part of the verse number 5 in this translation is, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add." Another translator stated, "And for this very reason, do your utmost to add." In one translation I read, "But to attain this, you'll have to do your utmost yourselves." Probably the phrase "to attain this" is referring to partaking of the divine nature in the verse number 4. With all the opinions of the translators, my understanding is that with all the blessings we already experienced and with all the promises we received in the written word of God, we should have a resolve in our hearts and minds similar to Peter's answer to the Jewish priests and rulers in the Acts chapter 4, verse 20. We cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. We should pray to the Lord daily for our response to His Spirit's guidance to be like that of our father Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 2. He ran to meet the Lord. We must beware of Lot's attitude in Genesis chapter 19, lest we suffer great defeat. The first half of the verse number 5 is teaching us to be diligent to keep adding, growing, trusting the abundant grace of our Lord and never getting tired of prayers and supplications. We are committing our spiritual welfare to our Savior to keep us from depression and apathy in our faith in Him. Following the links of this chain in the verses 5 through 7, we choose the Lord's guidance as He leads His redeemed flock in only one direction, toward the kingdom of glory and everlasting joy. To be in the faith means only one state of the mind and heart, to believe our Lord's gospel. When we believe the Lord, we work to please Him. In our efforts, we learn our weaknesses and imperfections. In our daily prayers and meditations on the word of life and salvation, we seek and find new strength, new comfort, encouragement, and clearer understanding of God's word and will. Our personal knowledge of the Lord is growing in volume and in quality. We experience less and less fear. We enjoy more and more the joy of His salvation. As we wait on the Lord prayerfully, He is revealing to us His constant victories. When it appears that the enemy is raging, we remember that only the Lord is victorious, and all that cleave to Him will share in the joy of His victory. Satan is always the loser. We need not be angry, bitter, or defeated. Let us trust in the Lord and commit to His care all the souls, including our own. In our faith and growing knowledge, we learn to be patient, both in waiting for His guidance and provisions and in completing our assignments. As our purpose in life is our Lord's pleasure, so His accomplishments in us and through us result in more reverence toward Him and toward the souls that are His. We see our Lord's grace in the life and manners of our fellow believers. Fellowshipping with the Lord's people become more important and delightful than any company of relatives and business friends. Brotherly kindness with sincere affection is felt in the heart and confirmed with deeds of charity and loving kindness in godly concern for one another. The mutual care among Christians is a part of our Heavenly Father's care for all of us, His children. Both the needy and the caring are helped. Our Heavenly Father has blessed His family on earth with beautiful affection. All these gifts and blessings given to us to make us and to keep us partakers of the divine nature, the new nature He has created in us, born again children of His, the nature he is cultivating in us. None of these gifts could be separated from the rest or from one another. All these gifts are bound together into one bundle by the love of our Lord Jesus. His love in us is expressed in our doing His will from the heart. Without love, none of these wonderful spiritual qualities are possible. Faith, without sincere fervent desire to serve, is dead. Love sustains faithfulness. Virtue, uprightness, goodness, liveliness, vigor and lasting quality in the inner man, none could be sustained without love, without charity. The most extensive knowledge with the clearest understanding, if it could be possible at all, would be merely self-condemnation without charity. Self-control without love must fail. Patience and endurance are destined to get defeated. Without our Savior's love in our hearts, devotions are nonsense and piety is hypocrisy. The love of our Redeemer makes our devotions a blessed activity and brotherly kindness and affection our mutual delight. In the same manner we see that this whole set of blessings could not continue if any individual part would be left out. What would happen if virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity could be faithless? We would be helping one another toward self-destruction. We can be only grateful to our Father in Christ that He has arranged the building of our living in the Spirit of our Savior, our building of faith, on top of all these seven pillars to make it safe and secured in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It is important for us to continue in prayers to the Lord to make us and to keep us diligent in cultivating our relationship with Him, our Lord, and never to neglect our personal fellowship in His Spirit and also fellowshipping with one another. Living and growing in the Spirit of the Lord, we cannot be fruitless, nor fall into ignorance, blindness and empty religion. Our adoration of the Father and of the Son in the light of the Gospel is continually refreshing our awareness of this marvelous salvation and our constant dependency on God's loving and all-wise care. May the Lord daily renew our diligence. May our temperance be not boastful, self-confident self-control, but instead our humble and full submission to His control, that we may be forever grateful to Him and glorify His holy name. If I lack these gifts, I am blind. I cannot see ahead of myself. I have forgotten that I was purged from my old sins. I think this fact became more real when I read it and say it as pertaining to my own self. But how can this happen to me? The way of man is from the Garden of Eden to the barren land. The way of the Lord that He called me on is dust to glory. Could it be that I have turned to the opposite direction in my life? How long a time passed since celebrating the Lord's victory on the other side of the Red Sea until the first rebellion in the wilderness? Perhaps just a few steps, like short excitement, cooling off, losing focus of the destination, weariness, boredom, and similar conditions of the heart indicate the reversed direction. All these disobediences we can see as a long string used by Satan to knit a strong snare for our soul, to misguide us and to entangle us, to forget the horror and the misery of our former living in slavery to sin on the path of everlasting perdition. To keep me under that diabolic spell, the evil spirit will tell me a whole story of something I should recognize as the gospel according to Lucifer. He can tell me that I am not without all these gifts. To the contrary, I have quite a few. I do not have every one to the fullest extent, but nobody is perfect. After all, does not God understand that I am in the flesh? God is merciful, isn't He? My adversary is very busy making his entanglement of my soul stronger by adding to my weakness his power of self-deception. But there is remedy in the gospel. According to Luke in the chapter 18, verse 10, two men entered the temple to pray. In the verse number 14, the Lord Jesus said, "This man was justified." I want to be like this man, justified. Again in Luke 15:21, the son that returned back said to the father, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am unworthy of the name." In the verse 24, the father answered, "This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So he ignited a new joy of his salvation in my heart. Glory to God. I want to be found alive in Christ, acceptable to the Father. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Blessed be his holy name. Because of the facts we read so far in this second epistle of our dear elder brother Peter of old, he, Peter, is encouraging us with loving, godly concern. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." The calling and election Peter writes about is our Heavenly Father's calling and election. How can we make it sure? In Him, in the Father, there is no insecurity of any kind. The Apostle is urging us to give diligence, to apply ourselves to God's calling and always to elect what belongs to God's elected ones. When we prayerfully study our Lord's teaching, we hear His call. When we strive to do His good will with the awareness of His grace working in us, our confidence in Him is growing. United with our Redeemer and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, our soul is at the heavenly portal in its entire splendor. At the portal of the kingdom hall, we are far from the influence of sin and temptation. He has taken our hearts into the everlasting embrace of Him, our Savior. Just a few steps, just a few moments, and the prayers will become praises, and all His victories we lived through will blossom into the glorious triumph that fills the universe.